And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about how to cope with temptation. A member of the Weight Watchers Club was determined to make it through a full week without cheating. She dropped into a cafeteria one day for a cup of coffee. A man with two donuts and a cup of coffee sat opposite her across the table. The pastry smelled so delicious, but the woman remained firm in her decision not to indulge. Lo and behold, after a while, the man got up, leaving behind a whole unwhole donut. An internal struggle ensued, and temptation triumphed, and the woman reached across the table. She picked up the donut, she took a big bite out of it, and then the man came back with a second cup of coffee. Somebody has said that ever since the Garden of Eden, forbidden fruit is responsible for many bad jams. How about that? What's the most difficult thing in the world to control? Some 38% of us say that the most difficult thing in their lives to control is weight. About 32% say they wrestle most with their spending. About 10% say the hardest thing for them to control is their anger. 16% pinpoint their fears. About 1.5% their smoking, drinking, drug use, or abuse. But everyone has their own temptation. When we're young, sexual temptation may be our greatest problem. We modern parents put the kids in an awful bind. We want our young people to know that sexuality is a good thing, a blessed thing given to us not only for the propagation of the race, but also to bind a man and a woman together in marriage. But we also want them to know that it is a dangerous thing. A gift God has given for enjoyment within the relationship of marriage. A man wrote the Reader's Digest recently to say that when his daughters reached the dating age, he and their mother told them that some of the boys would be perfect gentlemen on a date, and then some other boys would have other things on their mind. If the girls ever felt backed into a corner, they were instructed to give the boy a quarter that they took with them and say, "Go, call my dad, and if he says what you're suggesting is okay with him, then it's okay with me." A quarter was never actually used, but one was brought out on a few occasions. Temptation has many forms. According to the research at the Medical College of Wisconsin, it states women who smoke are at greater risks for genetically abnormalities such as early menopause. They are also more likely to have facial hair, not to mention lung cancer, than women who do not smoke. Yet teenage girls are the tobacco company's biggest growth market. 18% of the college girls smoke daily, compared with only 10% of the college men. Temptation is a reality in all of our lives. Even our Lord faced temptation. Luke's telling of the temptations of Jesus ended with these words. In our scripture for today in Luke, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verses, we read, "When the devil finished tempting Jesus, he left him for a while." Temptation is a real force in our lives. Did you know that more than 8 million children disappeared in the United States between 1987 and 1990? 3 million, 8 million, you know. The year 1987 marked the first time the IRS required proof that children claimed as dependents actually existed. After that, many children start disappearing from the income tax forms. Some years ago, a hearing clinic in Northwestern University ran some experiments on words that were hard to hear. One of the very hardest words to hear, they discovered, was the word no. Temptation is, for all of us, a reality. For some of us, it's a ruin. Clarence McCartney once noted that the first temptation in the history of the human race took place in the Garden of Eden, and with man at peace with the whole animal creation. The temptation of Jesus, the second Adam, took place in the wilderness, where in our scriptures we read, he was with the wild animals. That contrast between the first temptation and the temptation of Jesus, one in the garden, one in the desert, is a picture of the ruin which has been brought on by sin and temptation in humanity. Nathan Horowitz, a mushroom expert, has said that the deadliest of all mushrooms is also possibly the tastiest. As Cowie knows this, he explained that the poison is slow-acting and that often the first symptoms of poisoning is communicated when the victim remarks, "Last night I ate the most delicious mushroom in my life." That's just like temptation, isn't it? Todd Marinovich was the quarterback of the Southern California football team many years ago. Those of you who remember his story know that Todd's father so wanted him to be a super athlete that he was not allowed to eat red meat or such things as snack cakes for his whole life. But on January the 21st, 1991, Todd Marinovich was arrested for possession of cocaine and marijuana. His father was so upset he would not come and see his son in jail. He left jail with his mother, and he said, "I have just blown away my life." His maternal grandmother said, and he wept all the way home. The reality and the ruin, don't they know better? We ask. Don't knowing better, doesn't it seem to be enough? Temptation is powerful. And it often overpowers even the strongest of persons. Spouses know that cheating can end their marriages and lead them to disgrace. Smokers know that tobacco will coat their lungs and may prematurely end their lives in horrible ways. Business people know that sooner or later, shady practices will be exposed. But knowing is not enough. Something more is needed. The remedy to temptation is not willpower. It would be so easy if willpower were the remedy. Just say no. Isn't that what we hear all the time? But some people have no willpower. They're like Mark Twain, who said, "I can resist everything except temptation." Some of us are stronger than others. Much of this was determined in our childhood. You may have seen the study some time ago about children and marshmallows and delayed gratification. Researchers found that children who can defy delay gratification by saving marshmallows until a later time turn out to be happier and better adjusted later in life. It's no wonder the disciplined life is a better life. The problem is that many of us are in the second group, the group that gave in and ate the marshmallows immediately. No amount of moralization seems to help. We wish it were not so, but it is. We're weak. We are vulnerable. We need a remedy to help us deal with the temptation. Well, this morning I'm going to tell you there is a remedy to temptation, and it really works. Have you noticed that nowhere in the Bible does it tell anybody to go to a temptation? Notice that the Lord's Prayer, what does it say in the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation. Read the book of Proverbs. Notice how many times it warns us to stay away from temptation. The Psalms often tell us not to associate with evil people. But the Apostle Paul gives us the real way to cope with temptation that really works. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, and I put it on your bulletin this morning. This is the verse my old preacher daddy gave me when I enlisted in the army in 1943 to fight in World War II. What's it say? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Some of the modern translations use the word testing in place of temptation. Notice what it says. Everyone is tempted the same, but God is faithful, and God will help us if we ask him. Pray and ask God to help you with a temptation. But the most important part of that verse is God will make a way of escape. I remember my dad saying, in the army, you're going to be tempted, son. He was in the army in the First World War. He said, I want you to memorize this verse and escape the temptation. And I mean run, put distance between you and the temptation. I said, okay, Dad, that's what I'm going to do. And I got in the army, and you know, I had to run several times, and I ran and got away from the temptation. And you know something? I'm glad I did. As you know, I worked for 6.5 years with recovering alcoholics in the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center here in San Diego. I gave this verse to the men and women being tempted by alcohol. At one evening chapel service, a successful graduate from the program came back to witness to those in the program. One of the guys asked him what helped him the most in gaining his sobriety. And he said, Chaplain Hayward's Bible verse. He said, when I was tempted, I ran like hell away from it. And I'm still sober today. Another guy got up and he said, I was on the beach last week and someone came up to give me and said, have a beer. I remembered Chaplain Hayward's verse. I ran to the bus stop and got on the bus and got back to the center. Another guy, he says, you know, after I heard Chaplain Hayward's little remarks there about running from temptation, he said, I walked down the block and every time I come to a bar, I run by the bar. Another guy says, I go across the street, and every time I see a bar on one side of the street, I go across the street to the other side. You know, putting distance between you and a temptation can also mean doing something else, something positive, like taking a night class or getting interested in a hobby or going to church or being a volunteer. There's so many things that people can do, and there are vulnerable times in our lives when we need some kind of an activity. Just remember, don't go to a temptation. Run from all temptations and pray and ask God to help you, and he will. Now, one thing for sure, we all have at some time in our life been overcome by some temptation. We have all been guilty of falling for a temptation. In other words, we have all sinned. The wonderful thing is that when we confess our sins to God in prayer, God loves us. And God will forgive us and give us a brand new, fresh start in life. As I've said hundreds of times, God loves us just as we are. And God will forgive us. And God will help us no matter what our situation in life. My dad, my old daddy, his first church, he told me that in his first church, a man had murdered another man. He served his time in prison. When he got out, he came to Dad's church. He asked God for forgiveness, and God forgave him. And he had a new and wonderful life with God. He married and had a wonderful family. And since God did this for him, God will do this for us. But God cannot help us unless we're committed to His way of life. And right now is time for us to dedicate or rededicate our lives to God and get help with our temptations in life. In a moment of silent prayer, let's do it this morning. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins and mistakes of the past, and help me with my temptations. Show me the way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to follow your lead away from temptations. And help us to have a wonderful life with you. Forgive us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.